Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 53 of the audio briefings. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really happy to have you here again this week. So the good news is we're doing another weekly episode on time. The bad news is you're stuck with me this week, but it's going to be a quick episode. I wanted to tell you a little bit about something that happened today, as well as we're going to talk initial IFR check-ins. So the first couple transmissions that happen right after you depart IFR and you're checking in with approach or terminal or departure, whoever you want to call it, depending on where you're flying. But before we get into that, I just wanted to remind everyone to subscribe to the Audio Briefings podcast on Spotify, on the Apple iTunes store. Go ahead, leave us a review. If you enjoy the content that we are bringing to you and you want to support the podcast, you can go to cardinalaviation.ca/podcast. You can hit the support the podcast button, and there is an option there to become an annual subscriber, or you can go ahead and buy us a coffee. Every little bit helps. We really enjoy putting this content out to you, and if you feel that you're getting value from it, we would love to hear from you either through the support the podcast page or even an email. We appreciate that as well. The other thing is on the website, I've just launched a new online booking tool. So Gord Stevens had put me in touch with one of his contacts, and he had emailed me and he sent me this link to schedule a time to do a call or an appointment with him. And I really liked that feature, actually. It kind of, I guess initially, this is my biggest fear, comes across as maybe a little bit stuck up or pretentious, or you know, you think you're so important that people need to book a time. But I also saw the value in it in terms of one, productivity, so being able to maximize the time in the day, which I like to think I do pretty well with. But more importantly for me is I find myself talking to people a lot or texting or through Messenger and saying, yeah, we should totally you know, find some time and get together and talk about that idea or go do this. And I feel like having that link available is a way to make myself accountable to actually following through with those intentions. So on the signature line of my email, there's a link. On the website now, there's a link to book a session or a consult. And this is a business for me. So if we are, you know, solving a problem for you or helping provide some guidance that is, I guess, considered a service. But either way, there's an option there for a quick inquiry or a call back. Go ahead, and if you want, you can use that form on the page if there's anything that we can help you with at Cardinal Aviation. And again, that's www.cardinalaviation.ca. All right, so this week I had a couple flights. It wasn't a super busy flying week. I was controlling a few days this week, but we flew with Richard early in the week in the Malibu as he passed his instrument proficiency recurrent check this week. So congratulations to Richard. The reason why we flew again earlier this week was because of some paperwork issues to do with insurance and the registration of the aircraft. His instrument proficiency check was actually done VFR, but simulating IFR. And if you have ever done that, it kind of adds another level of complexity to the flight. And when you're doing simulated IFR as part of an IPC, it can make it a little bit more complex. So even though Richard and I had flown several hours together over the last couple of months, as soon as we found out that he was going to be doing his ride simulated IFR under VFR, I offered to go fly again with him just so he could get used to that kind of difference, if you will. So we went and did that. That was great. Did another heli lesson with Sam this week, and that felt really good to get back in again, working on smoothing out control inputs. I'm still being a little bit too jerky, kind of putting fixed wing magnitude inputs into a cyclic doesn't end up in a very smooth flight. So we're trying to iron out those little details, but all in all, that's going well. And then also flew with Thomas today, doing some tailwheel training. And it was interesting last week flying with Thomas. You know, he goes, I'm barely even halfway through this. You know, I'm still waiting for it to click. And he was about 8 hours into his tailwheel training last week. And today we went flying and it was windy. We were probably in the, you know, low 20s, gusting mid 20s, anywhere from 20 to 40 degrees off the runway. And I showed up today. I said, you're going to be working. You're going to be working hard. And that he did. And it kind of came together today, actually. It clicked to the point where I want to now for sure get another flight in with him in calm wind conditions just to make sure that we're not getting lazy in the calm winds. So the big thing being keeping your crosswind input in until the airplane is stopped. So, so critical for tailwheel flying. And I think twice we've seen an example where if we get lazy on the crosswind input, especially when we do have a significant wind like that, there is a threat of the airplane swapping ends on us. And that's why it is so important to go out with an experienced coach or an experienced instructor that is prepared and can see that coming and can make the necessary inputs. But really happy with how Thomas's tailwheel training is coming. And where I'm going with this is, as we were doing stop and goes in the pattern today, there was at least a dozen airplanes, including ourselves. There was a dead seagull that was in the runway intersection, and airplanes kept reporting, oh, hey, Tower, there's a dead seagull in the intersection. And he's like, yeah, we know, we've called the airport, but it's Saturday and it's taking them a while to come out to remove it. So we had been doing pattern after pattern after pattern. We ended up doing a runway change where we landed and we're taxiing to the next one, and I had to taxi past the seagull again. And Jason, our friendly tower controller, obviously being kind of indirectly one of my colleagues, he kind of made a little remark of like, well, hey, if you're there and you want to pick it up. And I was like, haha, that's very funny. And then, of course, being who I am, as we rolled past it, I said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to go get this stupid seagull off the runway. So wasn't sure what to use. I looked in the backseat of Thomas's airplane and he had four copies of the same map and one of them was very outdated. So we sacrificed that map, went out, picked up the seagull in the map, wrapped him up, put him in a manhole cover, just kind of pinned for the airport to grab later. And yeah, so remove some non-flying FOD from the runway. But what was really funny actually was the transmission that happened after I had said that the seagull was off the runway. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pause and I'm going to play that interaction. I pulled it off of a online ATC streaming website, and you'll probably get a little laugh out of that.
Charlie Delta Mike, we're going to position on 083.
Charlie Delta Mike, roger. When you're finished whatever your project is there, I'll line up and wait for my 08 right backtrack as required.
Okay, hold on. I'm getting out.
Have you got a plastic bag on board now?
I got a cloth bag. I'll just put it in the laundry. I'm going to move him into the grass just off our left wing.
That makes sense.
I could give him one last flight, but no.
I think it's fresh. It wouldn't be smelly yet.
All right, there's one seagull wrapped in an expired VNC tucked in the manhole cover for them.
Charlie Delta Mike, I appreciate your good deed. Backtrack as required, clear for takeoff, runway 08 right.
Air clear, takeoff 08 right, here we go, Charlie Delta Mike.
All right, there you go. I'm not going to tell you who played the remembrance tune there. I'll let you use your imagination, but sometimes a little good humor on the old ATC frequency isn't the end of the world, and it kind of lightens up everybody's day and brought a smile to my face anyway. So thank you for letting me share that with you. So the main thing I want to talk about today is about the initial IFR check-in when you on an IFR departure. And so for the purpose of this discussion, let's assume that you could be departing a controlled or an uncontrolled airport. You have an active IFR clearance, so you haven't departed VFR. You got an IFR clearance on the ground and you are making your first contact with air traffic control, and maybe you've climbed a little ways and it's in a more remote area and you're calling the center controller, or maybe it's a more populated area and you've got a terminal departure or approach controller that you're going to make your initial check-in with. So when you make this initial check-in, there's really a couple pieces of information that are really important. Obviously, your aircraft call sign is important, but the two other really important bits that we really need to hear are the altitude that you're passing, so we need to validate your altitude, and the altitude that you are cleared to. So what altitude, if you have an altitude preselector, have you set in that box on departure? Basically, what's your top IFR altitude? And that is where there's a little bit of confusion, because oftentimes pilots will say that they are through 1,200 climbing to 9,000, when really the standard instrument departure or their IFR clearance off the ground was only to say 3,000 or 4,000. They state their top altitude is what they actually filed as their IFR final cruising altitude. So I'm going to give a couple examples of clearances that are not good, and then we'll work our way into what they should sound like. So the first one, and I'm going to use the call sign Starline 123. It's fictitious, but it's just going to make things easier here. So departure, Starline 123 is with you. Okay, so what are we missing there? We got the call sign, but we don't have the altitude passing or the altitude cleared to. We need the altitude passing in order to validate the mode C readout from your transponder correlates and is the same as the altitude readout on the radar, so that we can make sure that we're all talking apples to apples here. So that one, no good. All right, the next one. Departure, Starline 123 is climbing out of 1,200. Okay, great. So I've got an altitude that you're passing. I can validate or verify your altitude, but I don't know what you're climbing to. I have a good idea of what you should be climbing to, but I need some sort of verification of what you're climbing to. So in that case, we need the altitude that you're climbing to. So still not great. The next example, departure, Starline 123, 1,200, climbing 4,000. Now we're talking. And my response would be Starline 123, departure identified, climb 6,000. Maybe I can clear them a little bit higher now. But what I got there was I got the call sign, I got the altitude that they were passing, as well as their cleared to altitude. And this, again, is where there can be some confusion between Canada and the U.S. On a SID in Canada, usually on every SID at the top line or somewhere near the top, there's going to be the SID altitude. So for one of the airports that I control, for example, there's a SID, we'll call it the Abbotsford 9 departure, and it serves three runways, runway 19, runway 07, and runway 25. In all cases, it is a vector SID. So you depart on runway heading or on a assigned heading. At the very top, it says, for all runways, climb 3,000. And then underneath it, it breaks down each runway. For runway 07, do this. For runway 19, do that. And for runway 25, do as it says. So the top altitude for that departure, in this case, is 3,000 feet. So when Starline 123 departs Abbotsford's runway 19, what I want to hear is departure at Starline 123, we're 1,500, climbing to 3,000. That's a verification of their altitude readout, as well as we're on the same page as to where you're stopping. What happened last week was I had an airplane come off and report leaving 1,500. And it was, you know, Starline 123 is with you, climbing out of 1,500. And I said, Starline 123, your radar identified. What is your climbing to altitude? And he goes, 4,000. I said, so you are climbing to 4,000 right now? He goes, well, we flight planned for 4,000. I said, okay, but when you came off the ground, what altitude were you climbing to? He said, we filed 4,000. I go, well, you're not answering my question. What altitude is in your altitude alerter? And he goes, 4,000. I said, okay, well, stop climb at 3,000 and just have another look at your SID, because that is the SID altitude that would have been an altitude bust. And technically, if you check in climbing to an altitude above what you were supposed to be climbing to or below what is a safe IFR altitude, it's a technical altitude bust anyway. But that whole initial check-in where you're stating both altitudes really adds a layer of safety so that the controller and the pilot can cross-check one another to make sure that both are doing what is expected. So the long story short, before you take off on any IFR flight where you have an IFR clearance, make sure you are crystal clear on what your IFR top altitude is off the ground, not your flight plan altitude, but your cleared altitude. And if you're not sure, just ask. The other thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and this is especially if you fly in Canada and the US, and we see this every day controlling both sides of the line, is the difference between radar identified and radar contact. So radar contact is something you will typically hear in the United States. So you check in and they'll say Starline 123 departure, radar contact, climb 16,000. In Canada, when you take off, you'll hear Starline 123 departure identified or radar identified, climb 16,000. They mean exactly the same thing. In fact, in the Canadian phraseology guide for controllers, about a year ago, they actually added radar contact as one of the acceptable pieces of phraseology that can be used to confirm radar identification. What we see happen a lot with American airplanes is if they come off and we say departure, you're radar identified, they often squawk ident. And it's probably about 50% of the time, if I were to keep track now, where you're just trying to tell them they're identified and then all of a sudden they start flashing because they're used to hearing radar contact. And when they hear identified, they think that's a command to identify. So have a little bit of a laugh at that. So what I've kind of done now that it is acceptable phraseology is with American aircraft that come off, I'll sometimes switch over from radar identified to radar contact just because it's something that they're maybe a little bit more familiar with. So yeah, anyway, that is kind of just touching on a little thing that I thought we could review. Just making sure that you're always on the same page with your altitudes, your initial altitude transmission, if you will, on check-in on an IFR departure. Make sure it's crisp, make sure it's clean, make sure all three elements are there, who you are, what you're climbing out of, what you're climbing to, and it just will ensure that everything else goes so much smoother. And you know what, maybe keep a black garbage bag in your airplane in case you come across a seagull. But hey, who am I to say? I'm just doing my kind of civic duty as a citizen of the airport and as a citizen of the sky. Just trying to reduce FOD, because last year, basically 11 months ago to the day, in that exact same runway intersection, flying a client's Piper Navajo, I took out two seagulls and put an $18,000 dent in the wing of an airplane. So the less FOD we can have at the airport, the better. So everybody do your part. And I look forward to talking to you next week. I will be talking to Gord Stevens here on Tuesday. We're going to record another mindfulness episode, and we are talking about possibly doing that once a month as kind of like a series over a certain number of months, and kind of getting going deep with kind of pilot mental health, pilot well-being, kind of why we do certain things that we do. But yeah, anyway, until next time, until we talk, go check out Cardinal Aviation, www.cardinalaviation.ca. I still have some big news that I really want to tell you guys, but I can't quite yet. Follow us on Instagram at Cardinal Aviation. Support the podcast if you are so inclined. We appreciate everything. And fly safely, never stop learning, and most importantly, take care of yourself.